Welcome to CDH Conversations, where you get to hear what matters to you. So today we have an interesting conversation about women and tax policy. My name is Alex Kanye, a partner at the Tax and Exchange Control Department, and I'm joined by Lena, who is a partner in the department. But Lena, I would be interested to hear more about you.
Thank you very much, Alex. As you've mentioned, I'm a partner in the Tax and Exchange Control Department. Over and above that, I'm a woman, and I'm glad to be having this discussion that, you know, covers issues around women. And even more importantly, I'm a mother to three girls who are young women. So looking forward to just engaging and see, you know, how this conversation goes and what we sort of come up with as a conclusion. So thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. That's quite interesting because women play a very important part in this society. And it then begs the question, what kind of tax policies do we have, whether in the country or within Africa, that actually address women issues? But to start us off, what kind of issues do you see women experiencing that could potentially be addressed through tax policy?
So I would want to look at it from two different perspectives. So we have women who are financially able, but we also have a lot of women. I think a huge percentage of the women that are in the country at the moment are low income. There's also older women and there's also the younger girls. For me, the way I look at it is tax policy affects different aspects of women's lives. There's the family. We have women-led households. There's the educational aspect of it, the societal aspects of it. There's the financial aspect of it, the ability of women to access finances and, you know, ultimately the economical aspect of it. Are women able to do businesses? Are they able to be equally employed? So yes, tax really does affect different aspects of women. And more importantly, even health. You know, there are certain issues that affect women that don't affect men. So we'll be... tax policy is really fundamental in addressing some of these challenges that women face.
Great, Lena. So are there current tax policies, whether in Kenya or Africa, that affect women either positively or negatively?
Yes, Alex, there are certain exemptions. I can speak for Kenya and South Africa where essential items such as foodstuffs are zero rated, which makes it affordable for women, and that affects the family aspect of it. They're able to provide one of the basic needs to their children. There's also the aspect of health, the zero rating of things like raw materials for manufacture of sanitary pads makes it affordable, and therefore a lot of women who otherwise would not have been able to access such products are able to, you know, purchase them and afford them. But also from an employment perspective, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of women fall within the low income bracket, which means they're also women who are on the lower employment tax bracket. So subjecting them to lower tax rates, having a progressive PAYE system makes it even more easier for women to get by. So yes, the government has put in place certain tax measures which are aimed towards making the lives of women easier.
And are there examples of perhaps policies that negatively impact women?
On the top of my head, I would say yes. As much as there are certain goods that are affordable, there are still certain services that are still subject to taxes, which again might not be affordable to women. But also there's the reality that there is disparity also in terms of employment opportunities, payment, pay gaps, or there's disparity in how much women are paid. And ultimately, this would now go down to ensuring that companies are incentivized to give opportunities to more women, maybe more women in leadership, more women in the board, more women in terms of employment opportunities, which would now open the door for them to now probably earn better and to provide for their families better. So maybe there is a tax incentive that could alleviate or address this.
Oh, but that's nice. Assuming today we give you a chance to perhaps comment on some of the tax policies that we have within the country.
Mm.
And you are told you have a blank check, as it were, to put maybe one or two things that you'd believe would positively impact the lives of women from a tax policy. What would you recommend?
I would give tax incentives to companies to put in place a creche, to put in place breastfeeding room, to put in place probably hybrid working for women, just to encourage companies to make it easier for women to be able to balance their life at work and their life at home, because then that would, I hope, ultimately result in a healthier society and, of course, result in have a better economy, I guess. So I would give incentives for a start to just make it easier for women to sort of have a balance and not to feel like they're paying what is called the mommy penalty. Because you have children, then you feel like you're not getting equal opportunities as their male counterparts.
Interesting, interesting. At some point, you also mentioned that there's a way also tax policy contributes to the gender pay gap. Mm. And this has been a hot debate in terms of just equality and giving equal opportunities to women and men at the workplace. Mm. Does anything come to mind in terms how we can bridge that gap from a tax policy perspective?
First of all, I think what a man can do, a woman can do, if not better. So if the government sort of incentivizes companies to recruit and give opportunities to women, then that would ensure that you also have women in leadership roles within companies, which mean they're earning higher. But also incentives can be put in place that would encourage companies to support initiatives around women. So community or social activities that would support women, maybe support a women's group in some rural area, or open a shelter for women who or girls who've been abused or subjected to societal things like FGM, female genital mutilation. So just giving incentives to companies that would encourage them to now look at it from a sustainability perspective and not just an outright gender issue. So is it something that companies are encouraged as part of their sustainability strategy or their ESG strategy to now look at issues around women and give incentives for companies to actually pursue them and implement them?
And thank you for that. Mm-hmm. What I'm getting is we need to also get women at the table when policies are being framed.
Yes.
We need to find a way to also amplify women's voices in terms of developing tax policy.
Mm-hmm.
From where you sit, do you believe women are involved to the level that they should in terms of just developing frameworks or tax policies?
I'd say yes, but not to the levels that it should. I'd say that we have seen a considerable number of women in the profession, just like me, who are very vocal about now tax policies. We also have women who are now heading some of these organizations around tax. So we have a lady at the helm of the Tax Justice Network, Ms. Chennai. We also have HF Women in Tax. So it's sort of an organization of women in tax administration within Africa, and they're very vocal. But the thing I ask myself is how many women are at the helm of tax administration and tax policy framework? Actually, how many women in Africa are in the Ministry of Finance? Do you know any? A woman finance
just
minister?
Just a few.
There it is.
Yeah.
There's the problem. Therein lies the problem. Because only the shoe wearer know where it pinches, you know? So if we are not in the room, if we're not seated at the table, to address issues on tax policy that affect us as women, then I think there is the problem.
Okay. If this woman listening to you and they are wondering where do we start to just get involved. What advice would you give?
I would say you don't have to have a big platform or a big audience to have a conversation around tax that affects you. It can be a simple conversation in your household. It can be a conversation with a professional like us. It can be a social event where you create awareness on issues around tax, tax policy framework. And even with the recent tax amendments bill, now we're at the place where now there's public participation. Women groups, associations should actively participate in their own small way. Ultimately, there will be a big difference.
As we wrap this up, and thank you for that contribution, what advice would you give then to policymakers to ensure that they actually involve women when they're formulating tax policy?
I'd say first, acknowledge that women are able, they're capable. They're women who can participate in policy formulation. But also, we do have women parliamentarians who can also sort of be the key drivers of these conversations. So those of us who are already with or in the room should probably create more awareness to the rest, because policy formulation is not just a legislative issue, it's also a stakeholder issue. So even as stakeholders, we should create awareness to the rest of the women. And one, let them know that they can participate, but two, their participation will be acknowledged.
That's nice. Creating awareness is definitely a good start.
Yes.
So that people don't see tax policy as something that doesn't affect them, and therefore they don't need to be involved. I think that would be a good start. Any parting shot on this particular conversation?
Women, it's time to lean in. Let's lean in. Let's take our place at the table. Let's drive our agenda and work with men for a better society.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for joining this particular podcast, where we focused on women's involvement in tax policy formulation. This is courtesy of the CDH Women Empowerment Series, and we look forward to having you in the next podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.